Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
All right, now, I want to talk about mandatory helmets for cyclists. By the way, please stop sending in questions now. Because he's gone. I can spend the whole day taking questions for him. A cycling group says it would very strongly oppose mandatory laws for helmets for everyday cycling. It comes after cycling was revealed to be the most common activity leading to the referral to Bowman's Hospital's National Centre for Treating Traumatic Brain Injury. A new study has found that of the 26 patients with cycling-related head injuries transferred to the unit, only two were recorded as wearing a helmet at the time of the injury. Other commonly referred activities, by the way, are Gaelic football, horse riding, rugby. And the study was published by the Journal of Clinical Neuroscience. However, it does not differentiate between the different types of cycling, such as sports cycling or leisure cycling. Now, Martin Callanan, the deputy chair of the Galway Cycling Campaign, and says we strongly oppose mandatory helmets, or mandatory laws for helmets, for everyday cycling. For a person cycling, a camera is better for personal safety because this can record road traffic offences and provide digital evidence to the Garda Síochána. And also, we need to change our speed limits. We need to reduce the speed on our roads to 30 kilometres per hour in urban areas. Okay, he's going on about a lot of stuff there, not really sticking to what he was asked about, which was the helmets. But anyway, she also said that it's important for people who are mixing on roads where they have bikes, SUVs, HGVs, buses, articulated trucks, sharing the space. Oh, sorry, I said Martin instead. It was actually Martina. I was wondering why it said she. But anyway, Martina Callanan. I do apologise. People are not legally obliged to wear a helmet or a high visible jacket clothing while cycling in Ireland, but the Road Safety Authority recommends cyclists wear both for safety. So it's a guideline at the moment. You do have to have a light at night time, by the way. Today, I want to know if you think making helmets mandatory for cyclists, in other words, it's the law, would make any sense. I mean, if you're a motorist, you have to wear a seatbelt, obviously, for protection of you and other people in the car. If you're on a motorbike, you must wear a helmet by law. Now, not in every country in the world, but certainly here in Ireland, we do. In countries generally with warmer climates, pardon me, they don't have it as mandatory because it covers your whole face and can be difficult to breathe. So I want to get your thoughts on this today. Should cyclists be forced to wear protection like clothing and helmets? Should they be forced to wear protection, particularly helmets? Let's focus on the helmets for the time being. Should they be forced to wear them? Should it be the law that every cyclist has to wear a helmet, no matter what age group they happen to be? Even little Johnny on his first bike from Santa Claus, should every cyclist have to wear a helmet? By law, with a fine. Yes. Or no. Let me know what you think. The number is 087. That's 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. Let me go to Peter. Peter, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Peter?
How are you doing, Niall?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We're like one happy family in, as you can hear, Peter. It's like,
yeah.
It's like having a wife.
I hope Walter is all you're drinking.
I could do with something stronger today, let me tell you, Peter.
Especially putting up with the lot you have to.
Peter, I mean, Peter, do your kids all have bikes?
They do.
Yeah. I mean, years ago when I was a kid, every child had a bike, but I don't see it as much now. And it's really important. It's good for their exercise. It's good for the coordination. Yeah. It's good for everything. You know what I mean? There's always that kind of famous moment when you let your child go off for the first time. You know, when you let go of the saddle and they cycle for the first time on their own.
Yeah. And you're wondering where they're going to end up.
Yeah, well, I remember that with my daughter because my daughter never really figured out where the brakes were. So, I mean, but should they have to wear a helmet? Legally, should every child have to have a helmet on?
Yeah, Niall, I'm glad this is on today. The other day I was pulling into my house and a lad in a black electric bike pulled up alongside me, crossed the front of my car. And not a light on, not a helmet on, and I could have just... If the light had went green, he would have been underneath me, Gee.
I know. I've had those moments, and the heart is in your body, pumping out of your body.
They should all have to wear helmets, high-vis jackets, and they should all have to have lights on. And if not, the bike shouldn't be let on the road. There should be some sort of a test. I don't know if the government wanted...
No, I agree with... In relation to the high-vis jackets and the lights and everything else, yes, if it's in the hours of darkness, absolutely. But, you know, for all of the time, the helmets, I personally believe they should be mandatory. Now, I know the Galway Cycling Campaign have said they shouldn't be. They believe for leisure purposes, it should be your own choice. Now, they're not saying they don't advise you to do it, but it should be your own choice.
No. Like, well, there's times when I bring the kids over the park and you wouldn't have the helmets on, I'll be honest with you. Andy, there's a new bike park there beside us, and the kids aren't allowed in the bike park unless they've helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's teaching them that. But from adults to children, there needs to be a whole something done about cycling. Regarding, like, I walked across the road there the other day and a cyclist paid no attention to the traffic light and cycled by. And I have two greyhounds in my hand, and he nearly took the head off one of the dogs. You know what I mean?
Sometimes they
just don't care. Now, we know there's good cyclists out there. They obey the laws of the land. And another thing I believe is a cyclist should not be allowed on a road where there is no overtaking allowed. You know, if I'm driving a country road,
yep,
and it's a continuous white line, I don't believe cyclists should be allowed on roads where there are continuous white lines, because there's no opportunity to overtake them, and back roads are very dangerous.
Now you're going to cause a problem, because cyclists say, well, hold on, I'm equally as entitled to be on those roads as Peter in his car.
No, they should not be where there's a continuous white line. The bike should not be allowed.
Well, the reason there's always a continuous white line is because the road is a particularly dangerous road, and that's usually why there's a continuous white line, because it's difficult to overtake,
That's why bikes shouldn't be on them.
Unless it's a cycle track, of course, or a footpath.
Yeah, and that this another thing. Let me get into this.
Oh, Jesus, we're going down the rocky road here.
I have a video of a man cycling down in Chicago where there's a bike lane bigger than the footpath, and he's on the road.
We should be enforcing laws. So if cyclists do things like that, I mean, if they want to play the ball here, right, and if they're doing things like that, and they're cycling outside of the cycle track, they should get a fine. There should be a fine, and the police should stop them. They should give them a fine. And also, if you don't have a light in your bike, and I see it all the time, particularly with young teenagers, if they don't have a light in their bike at night, they should be fined. Or their bike confiscated on them.
New electric ones are absolutely, honestly,
they're lethal.
They're the worst things to ever
they're
come across.
They're essentially mopeds.
Exactly. And the speed of them, and all your ding-ding, and you look around, and just a gust of wind goes by you, and someone's gone by you on a scooter.
Yeah, my son has one, and he gave me a go on it around the car park of his apartment block. And jeez, I nearly killed myself on it. But the one he has, you have to cycle it. So in other words, you have to be actually cycling. The law is that you must be cycling it for it to the electric motor to kick in, so to speak. Otherwise, it's considered to be illegal, and you'd have to have insurance for it or a license.
Yeah.
So getting back to the helmets, I mean, the argument is, Peter, in some countries, we don't even have mandatory laws for helmets for motorbikes. Because they will argue that, well, the only person's life that's in danger is their own. Now, in a car, it's different. When you don't wear a seatbelt in a car, you can endanger the life of your passenger or the people behind you because you get flung around the car. But in saying that, on a bike, some of the bikers will argue, like in places like New York, I know they had big protests recently in relation to this. In Florida, for example, there's no obligation to wear a helmet on a motorbike because their argument is the only person that'll get damaged is you, and it's a personal responsibility and a personal choice.
Yeah, well, I take that into consideration too. But I think there should be a whole, I don't know what you call it, new thing around bike legislation where the bike should be, a test should be done on the bikes if they're on the road. Now, not a little kid in an estate, but if the bikes are being used for going to work and that, the bike should be tested. The person on the bike should have to do a little 15-minute test that they're not driving through pedestrian lights, and there should be a whole new legislation around people that use bikes for work and for long distance journeys.
Okay, but people are giving out here. They're saying, Niall, will you tell Peter to wait until the white line is finished? It'll only take a few minutes out of his life, and wait then and overtake the bike is what he means, when it's safe to do so, and not to be so stupid.
No, it's nothing to do with the overtaking, Niall. It's to do with how dangerous the back roads in Ireland are. Nothing to do whatsoever.
Well, it's only he'll probably argue it's only dangerous if you make it dangerous. If you try to overtake a cyclist, for example, on a bend. Well, hang on. Let me just bring Matt in as well. Stay there for a second. Matt, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Matt?
How are you, Niall? Happy
New Year to you too, Matt. Matt, should we make wearing helmets on bikes mandatory?
Will you stop? Of course you should, but never going to happen, man. Never going to happen.
You don't think? Well, it could happen if they made it the law.
No. Listen, you've got all these schemes around Dublin, Cork, Galway. You've all these cycling where you park the bike up and sec off and use your credit card. That's grand. But then all these tourists and all these gobshites going around that think they own the roads around these cities and have no regard for the traffic with no helmets. They're going around their suits from A to B, and it's great, and the Green Party are fantastic for doing all this. But if they all have to wear helmets, those businesses will close overnight, so it's never going to happen.
Okay, so you believe it's not in the public interest to make it happen? It's not. There's no political will to make it happen, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So why would you? Now, here, don't get me wrong. I'm a cyclist, I'm also a motorcyclist, and I'm also a driver, and a heavy goods driver, and a bus driver. And I know it from every angle of it.
Do you wear a helmet on your push bike?
Absolutely. I have a 9-year-old. I bring her out every time we have a bit of good weather. So about 3 times a year, I bring her out and we go around and I make sure she's a high vis jacket, because I was down to that plowing championship there a few years ago and the guards have this road show and they give out free high vis jackets of all sizes. So I just
they're not expensive. They're not expensive anyway. They're not that expensive.
No, but that's what I mean. It's no excuse. And then me and my daughter, we go around, we go up the canal and we go around all the parks.
That's lovely.
And it's great. But I won't let her outside the house without a helmet and a high-vis jacket on her.
Yeah, I was the same with my kids years ago. Even when they were going on their skateboards, I wouldn't let them out or whatever, or skates or whatever, not without a helmet. Because all it needs is one slip, back of your head, hit the ground and it's all over.
Yeah, and it's down. Now, look, whether you legislate for a helmet or not, I'm a motorcyclist, and I would never even go near a bike without a helmet and with good protection on me, gear.
What
on
do
me
you,
well.
By the way, what do you make of the motorbikers around the world, the bikers around the world who campaign against mandatory helmets? Now, in many states in America, you don't have to wear a helmet. Now, a lot of it is to do because of the heat. Say, for example, in Florida, you don't have to wear a helmet. And I have, when I've been over there on holidays, I've seen like fellas with their t-shirts on, shorts on, driving like big powerful motorbikes, no helmets, girlfriend on the back in a bikini, no helmet, and I'm going, oh my God, like, if they come off that bike, they're finished.
I tell you a story. About 20 years ago, I met a fella in a bar in Thailand, and he was playing pool, and I said, what are you up to? Oh, he looked very depressed, he's from Cork. We start chatting. And
he looked very depressing because he was from Cork, or just...
yeah, no, but he's a fella besides that. He was looking very depressed. I said, what's wrong with it? He says, it's friend. He says, the two of them heard. And they went off up the hill. No helmet, no protection, chops on him, and that was it. And he said, he lost his friend in whatever, for a while. And your man that owned the shop went up the hill looking for him because he never came back with the book. Mm. And they hit a massive pothole in the ditch with his leg hanging off him. So he says, they were going to cut the leg off unless you can come up with $7,000. I said, have you not got travel insurance? No, he said, we never bothered. So I said to myself, why would you even on a bike without a helmet?
Yeah.
And of course, the amount of people that's around.
The amount of intelligent people that will go out without a helmet on a push bike is bizarre. And cycle around the city knowing there's a chance, there's always a chance you can have an accident or something.
I left the house this morning at 8 o'clock and you want to see the hero coming up. Now, I'm in Lucan and anyone that knows Lucan, you'll know that it's just one massive cycle lane. But no one uses it, except me and my daughter, apparently. This morning, two cycle lanes on either side of the road, up to the roundabout, and he's on the main road on one of these electric scooters, no helmet, no nothing. And you swear the owner of the road. I swear to God.
By the way, we need to do a whole topic on these electric scooters. Now, I know the legislation is sketchy. There was a test case there before Christmas last year, I think it was, and it was put forward. I don't know what happened. I think one of the cases was lost in relation to how legal they are. So I know now the legislation is sketchy and the guards really can't do an awful lot about it. But in saying that...
the guards can. Guards can take them off because they're self mechanically propelled vehicles.
Yeah, but there was a case in court there recently. And I know it was put forward again. I can't remember the exact story. I think it was put forward again because the judge couldn't decide how the legislation could be, I suppose, implemented in relation to scooters. This is the legislation regarding...
That'd be a
regarding...
good point to the judge as well, wouldn't it? So, yeah, you can take their words for it. They know everything and they're really good. If it's a grey area in the law, tidy up the law. End of story. Do you know what I mean? Now, I know the Green Party all want all the everyone to go
course.
Electric.
Well, you're right. We do need to tidy up the law in relation to electric bikes, as Peter pointed out as well a second ago, and electric scooters as well. But I'll come back to that again another time, the scooters, because that's a whole topic in itself, Matt. But stay with me if you can there, because loads of people are texting in. Matt is away with the fairies if he believes that we can't bring in legislation. Of course we can. When people are dying because of it or ending up with brain injuries, absolutely we can bring in legislation. Let me know if you believe that helmets should be mandatory. The number is 087-188-0000. Right, Matt's away with the fairies. Let me go to Kat. Not a cat, but Kat. Kat, you're on Classic
Hi,
Hits.
Niall. Hi, how Niall. How are you?
Do you have a cat, Kat?
I had a cat, but he left me. So I don't have a cat anymore.
Do you have a dog, Kat?
No, I don't know dogs either. No pets at all, like, you know.
I'm assuming it's Catherine, is it, by the way?
No, Katrina.
Oh, Katrina. Okay.
Yeah,
so, okay.
You normally go by Kat, though.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah. Is that normal, by the way, for Katrinas to go by cats?
No, and then, I'm not really normal anyway, so it doesn't matter.
All right, okay. Oh, okay. A helmet saved your life.
Yes, I cycle to work every day. So I just one morning, I was very distracted. I was just cycling away and I just happened to come off my bike and hit my head off the footpath.
Oh.
And only the fact that I had the helmet. Now, I was fine. The bike was a bit buckled. I got a few cuts and bruises and everything.
Yeah,
but
your ego was a bit bruised as well.
Sure, look, I was fine. I was grand. But I have to say, yeah, only the fact that I wore the helmet.
I know. It's the difference between life and death. It genuinely is.
It is. And like even at the moment now, because I don't drive, because the weather is so bad, I'm getting someone to drive me in every day, like, because, you know, especially now with the icy roads, even though I have my helmet.
I had motorbikes years ago, and I remember a car pulled out in front of me. Going home from work one day in and around Colester somewhere. But when I hit the car, I turned the bike sideways and hit the car sideways and my head smacked off the roof of the car. But I had a helmet on. But I had a helmet on.
Yeah.
And when I took the helmet off, the helmet was cracked. And I said, so obviously it must have been a fair impact. But I was fine. I had a bit of a headache that night, so I probably had a bit of concussion. Because you got a bit of a rattle, you know. But in saying that, there was a crack on the helmet. So you could imagine how hard motorbike helmets are. If I didn't have the helmet on, that would have been my skull.
That's the thing, I know. And when I went and bought my bike, it was a very good place where I bought my bike, and they did a helmet test.
Okay.
And they said they don't do it normally in other shops, but they did it, and you had to bang on the helmet, and then just to see would it actually hurt your head.
Right.
Hitting your head.
Because this is what's really important too when people buy helmets, to make sure it fits properly. Because there's no point in having a helmet if it's falling off your head.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so I've got two kids now. So every time they go out on their bikes, I make sure that they always wear their helmets.
I have the biggest fear when my kids were younger. Now they're a bit older now, particularly my daughter, because she was... she wasn't great on the skates when she was young, the rollerblades and skates and everything else. And I always have this fear of them falling backwards and hitting the back of their head on the ground.
It's so easy to happen. All it takes is just one car that goes the wrong way, or they're not concentrating like the way I was.
Yeah.
You know, it just can easily happen. And I wouldn't leave the house without my helmet.
Okay, definitely. But here's the thing. Should we make it the law? Because at the moment it's just a guideline.
I think we should, to be honest. I do think so. I do think. I just think for cars as well, if a bike goes out in front of a car, and if that person dies, then the car, then, you know, the driver then has to live with that for the rest of their life. So, and if they're not wearing a helmet, and for to protect the cyclist as well, obviously primarily to protect the cyclist, I do think we should. To be honest.
Because unfortunately, if you do hit a car or a car hits you and you die, they have to live with the guilt of that for the rest of their lives as well.
Yeah, of course they have to. And just to make life easier for everyone, it's just all you have to do is just put it on your head, like, and it's not going to impact you anyway, like, you know. It's just something that we need to do, like, you know.
All right, well, listen, I'm glad you're still with us, Kat.
I have to say, Niall, I love your show.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I hope you get another cat, Kat.
I don't think so. At the moment, I might. Well, not at the moment, I won't.
Would you have had a cat before that, Kat? Are you a cat lady?
I have a bit of a crazy cat lady, all right. I had a cat, and he left me.
What was his name? What was his name?
Sire. Well, he was like a child. But when I had my first child, he left then. He moved 6 doors down in the estate.
See, cats, there's the problem with the difference between cats and dogs. Cats have no loyalty. They don't care.
No loyalty. And he was treated like a king.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The most pampered cat ever. My husband said it's either him or the cat.
Right.
So, so the husband is still there and the cat's gone. So.
But if the cat had stayed, he'd have been back in his bags.
Oh, yes, yes.
But I know a lot of people, by the way, with their dogs and their cats, that if their husband gave them that ultimatum and said, it's me or the cat or me or the dog, they'd say, okay, see you, bye.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? You know?
Absolutely. Listen, Kat, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate it. Have a lovely day, okay? And a happy new year.
Niall, if the medical profession say they can save up to 47% of head injuries from people wearing helmets on a bike, surely it's a no-brainer. Unless you want to end up with no brains, of course.
I was going to say there was an irony in what you said there. Let me go to Mario. Mario, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Mario?
Good. How are you, Niall? Happy
Good.
New Year.
Happy New Year, Mario. How are you?
Good.
Okay, now back to the helmets again. I mean, if they do save lives, as he's just said, he said it's a no-brainer. Just make it a legal requirement.
I agree. I used to cycle a lot. I gave it up after I crashed in April. I wasn't going fast, just a bit unlucky, I'd say. Just slipped on a bit of gravel. There was hardly any border of grass next to the road. There was a stone wall. I crashed into the stone wall, went over the stone wall, was injured a bit all over my body, broke 5 ribs in the process.
Oh.
And if it hadn't been for my helmet, could have been a lot worse.
It would have been your skull along with it, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, because the other side of the boundary wall was bushes and rocks and stone. I'm living in Clare, so I was kind of in a part of the burn, so there's a lot of limestone there. So,
it could have
been a disaster.
Absolutely. Well, look, I don't have the same experience with push bikes, but I certainly do with motorbikes. And helmets have saved my life so many times. And I know it's a different speed and everything else, but generally most motorbike accidents will happen at very low speeds, by the way, usually in traffic and things like that. And the helmets do save your life. And I've no understanding of why we never made it a legal requirement on push bikes, because you can do 20 miles an hour on a push bike. You know, you can do 15, 20 miles an hour on a push bike. And you come off it and that's the end of your head, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And as I say, I'm born in Belgium and I cycle since before I could walk almost. Used to cycle a lot.
Where are you from, Maria? Where did you say you're from? Belgium?
Belgium, yeah. Originally.
See, there was me stereotyping you, immediately assuming you were from Italy because you're called Mario.
No, I don't know why my parents chose that name, but a lot of people assume that, but I am from Belgium.
Yeah, they immediately think that this guy, he's from Italy and he owns a chipper.
No. You couldn't be further off than that. I'm from Belgium and an accountant, so although I like a good chipper.
I have to say I do like them myself. You can't beat the Italians for good chips, to be honest with you. I don't want to stereotype them. That sounds very racist, doesn't it? But you just can't beat it. The Italians came here back in the 70s and thought the Irish like potatoes, or even probably further back than that, the Irish like potatoes, let's make them chips, because they don't even do that in Italy, so I don't know why they do it here.
Yeah, and the truth is chips are an invention of the Belgians.
Okay. I didn't know that either.
When did you
move to Ireland, Mario?
When?
Yeah.
Almost 8 years ago.
Okay, and if I was to say to you tomorrow, either Ireland or Belgium, because Belgium is a beautiful country, by the way, if I said Ireland or Belgium, where would you prefer to live?
Oh, definitely Ireland.
Would you?
Yeah.
Because I thought Belgium is it's a wonderful country, Belgium, by the way. I was there once.
It is. For a holiday, it's great. In my opinion, too many people and not enough space. And I'd say the Irish people are way friendlier and warm and welcoming than the Belgian people. I should have come 20 years ago rather than 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, I think 20 years ago it was probably even better. We had what they call them the Cade Mila Falcha, which I'm sure you've heard about, which is the land of 1,000 welcomes. But I think that's kind of somewhat changed. Now, maybe not so much outside of the cities. It's probably still the same. But certainly in the cities, I think that's changed quite a lot. I don't think we're as welcoming as we used to be. Anyway, getting back to the helmets, just stay with me for a second. Because Paul, how are you doing, your classic kids? How are you doing, Paul?
Not too bad. How are you now?
Good, Paul. Should we have mandatory wearing of helmets make it a legal requirement?
I've spent many years driving cars, motorbikes, I've been into mountain bikes, BMX and all this, and I think for the likes of city centres, dark mornings, rural roads, you know, pretty much most places, yeah, definitely so.
Mm-hmm.
Because You could be the best cyclist in the world. All it takes is one person to be on their phone or whatever, bang, and it's the difference, you know, that kind of way.
Yep.
When you, and then in regards of the motorbikes, and it's funny when you said your own story earlier,
yeah.
I had one similar on a motorbike where I had some young one in a huge Jeep just out of nowhere say, oh, I'm not waiting on this traffic, did a big U-turn. I, from being on the mountain bikes and BMXs, I was kind of used to having to react very fast. It hit me brakes enough not to go under her, but slide into her like that sideways. Jeez. And I ended up headbutting her side window, putting her side window completely in. You know, like, so if I hadn't had a helmet on the motorbike,
that would have been your head going through the window, yeah. Well, that was exactly, by the way, what happened to me. I was in Colchester and a woman it was like an SUV type thing, decided to do a U-turn. I was on the outside of the traffic, obviously driving on a busy, it was busy. Now, I was only doing about 15, 20 miles an hour, thankfully. But
yeah.
she did a U-turn in the middle of the, she just decided, ah, enough of this traffic, and decided to get out of it and do a U-turn in the road, and I went straight into the side of her.
Jeez, yeah. The handlebars of my motorbike were gone and everything. And when I met her, because she said she'd pay for the handlebars, I said, how's the Jeep faring out? And she says, about $2,000 worth of damage.
I was in the same situation. The forks on my bike had bent. It was a kind of motocrossy type bike, and the forks had bent, the front forks. That's how hard I hit her car, even though I hit it slightly sideways. But I remember I hit my head off the roof. And the helmet was cracked, but I was fine, thankfully. I don't know how.
Big time.
It was a miracle.
Other than helmets now, because I do a lot of kind of leisure kind of cycling as an off-road and that, if it wasn't for the full-face helmets, I've had little spills here and there, wedges. If I wasn't wearing them now, I wouldn't have any teeth, basically.
Yeah. Let me go back, sorry, to Mario as well. Mario, do many people cycle in Belgium?
Yeah, a lot. Way more than in Ireland. Now,
yeah.
The roads... are probably better for it, generally speaking. You have those cycling
lanes
and stuff like that. So,
so they have a better infrastructure for cycling.
Yeah. Plus, I'd say the drivers in general, bus drivers, car drivers, whatever, are better prepared to have cyclists on the road, because every Belgian person started by cycling on the road. So you're kind of better used to what a cyclist or a motorcyclist, for that matter, might or might not do in traffic. Where here in Ireland, roads are narrower and a lot of people don't really know how to behave around the cyclist.
Yeah, the Irish motorists see the cyclist as the enemy.
Yeah.
and vice versa.
Yeah.
There's particularly those lads, the overweight lads in the Lycra. You know them fellas?
Yeah. Well, I kind of was in that category as well, but I'm no longer now. So.
What's that all about? You know, these overweight men going through a midlife crisis with Lycra on them.
Yeah, no, I had my midlife crisis 15 years ago, so I wasn't cycling because of that last year.
Paul, did you go through a midlife crisis?
I've gone through... I still love the bikes, though.
Yeah. I think all blokes go through a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Now, the only bikes, haven't said that, but I've never, ever, ever... I've driven off-road bikes, I'll say mountain bikes, BMXs, all that. The only bikes that have never appealed to me is those Tour de France bikes.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is because I just say to myself, when you see them doing that double lane and on country roads, I just say, how do they gamble their own health and safety for the sake of arrogance?
Yeah.
Because even if... say you take a sharp left bend and a car's coming at you, but next thing they're on top of you and you mightn't have a chance to slow down quick enough and bang, you know, that's it. That's how easy it could be.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get it. While I often see them in groups of 10 or something on an old country road and they're taking up the whole road, and why they just can't move in and let somebody... It's almost like we own the road. We can do it. And it's really unfair on everybody, including themselves. They're a danger to themselves sometimes.
And another thing, Niall, sorry, is in the mornings a lot of people, mornings and nights, I've been cycling, as I say, I'm in my mid-40s now, and over the last, say, 10 years, whatever it is, the amount of people in the mornings, even, say, on the roads, not only would they have no lights, no high-vis, but they'd be on a bike that's black and dressed in black. And I'm sure...
You know what the worst is that I see, and I'm really sorry to have to say this, and I know parents sometimes can't help that they have to do it, and I seen a guy one day, and I think I mentioned the year before, he had a child on the back of the bike. And the child was in a little seat on the back of the bike. The child was about 3 or 4. And then he had a little thing. It was like a little...
a tow car.
Yeah. And it was just held on with a pole.
Yeah, and dangerous.
And a little baby in it, like a baby, about two or something. And they were on the hard shoulder, and I'm going, oh my God, like if anything happened, there's your family wiped out.
Yeah,
I would never, ever bring a child on a bike, on the back of a bike, at the crossbar, and a little seat in the front, or I just wouldn't do it. Because it's enough risk in your own life on a push bike in a city without having children. And I just, no.
I've seen them tow little things before in the likes of the city centre where the traffic might be gridlocked to not move and someone will be in the cycle lane. They'll go to the next section, but next thing a motorbike will come out of nowhere and not being aware of the little tow thing on the back, you know, it gets that close.
Oh, how you could put your life into one of those little gadgets at the back of a bike is, or even to have a child on a seat at the back of the bike, because if you fall off, the child is doomed.
Maybe
parents out there believe it's safe. The cycling parents out there believe it's safe. I don't believe there's anything safe about
it. Not me. As I said, now you could be the best cyclist in the world. Like I'm well skilled on push bikes and motorbikes. Just takes the wrong person to be on the road with you, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you cycle in Belgium with groups, for example, because you were mentioning groups there before, I think it's from 10 people that you need to have. If I'm not mistaken, it's 10 and above. You need a car with special signage that accompanies the group to draw attention to other traffic. Where here in Ireland, you see groups of 20 people just cycling all over the place, and that's just incredibly dangerous and stupid.
Okay, so I was looking here, there's a WhatsApp here. Somebody says, victim blaming, nonsense, and totally disgusting, unbalanced argument. And I think Aisling asked the person with the interest in, come on. No, he has an agenda. This is an appalling. It stokes up anti-cycling sentiment. Shameful.
Anti-cycling, I've probably spent
with the four last four people I've had that on are cyclists, for God's sake.
I'm still cycling.
Absolutely. Look, that person, by the way, you're very welcome to on the air. Victim blaming. What are you talking about? But just making a very clear point that if you're a cyclist, it's not you, it's probably somebody else that will hit you. It's not victim blaming, for God's sake. All right, listen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Paul. All right. By the way, certainly, I'm not anti-cyclist. I've actually had five people on in a row who've all been cyclists and believe that it's the other people sometimes that cause the accidents. So maybe you weren't listening to the show properly, or you're listening with particular types of ears, which obviously you have the agenda. I don't think it's me that has the agenda. You clearly do.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.